Hi, Michelle. Hi, Nicole. Hi, Lissa. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Gail. Hi, Kelsey. Hi, Juliana. Hi, Inbal. Hi, Calvin. Hi, Alana. Good to see everybody. All right, let me just get set up here for a second. Make sure I have this all set. Okay, great. So we've got a practicum call today. We're gonna be looking at questioning skills. We're gonna kind of go deeper, take everything that we have learned in Sacred Depths and go deeper with some questioning pieces and practicing and integrating. But before we do that, hold on a second. I'm gonna make sure everybody is muted here right now. Okay, before we do that, I want you to take a moment and write down what are two things that you really want to celebrate. What are two things that you really want to celebrate? Can be inner pieces, outer pieces. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too big. I don't have to give you guys the spiel, but I will, because it's good for all of us to always remember. We are so, most of us are so conditioned to looking at what's not going well and to focusing on what's not going well and what the problems are and why things aren't good and so on and so forth, that we overlook the things that are going really well. And we always want to move. I mean, it's important to look at what's not going well, right? We don't want to ignore that, but we want to move from strength to strength. What motivates us to, well, for some of us, what motivates us to keep on going is all the things that aren't going well. I shouldn't make a blanket statement there, but imagine what would be different if we were continuously motivated by what is going well. So whatever the two things are that you wrote down, and you can write down more than two things, but whatever they are, take a moment and be with those two things. Let this not just be an intellectual exercise for you. Let these two things be meaningful to you. Take these two things into your heart. See how these two things hold the seeds for more of what you want for yourself. Honor the effort that it took for these two things to happen, because sometimes even the simplest or littlest of things carry inside of them big shifts. Take a moment and honor yourself for all of your effort, for all of who you are, for all of it. And if anybody wants to share in the chat some pieces that you want to celebrate, I'd love to see some. I bet we would all love to see some. Own it. Take it to the next level of ownership. Share it. Share the part that's most meaningful to you. This is such a, as you guys know, it's like such a basic exercise, but I really believe it's one that probably almost all of us, myself included, don't do enough for ourselves. So what are some things? I want to see at least a couple things. Yeah. Kelsey's celebrating her having a full practice. Yay! And her course is going really well. Her relationship feels alive and hopeful about the vaccine. Lissa, staying present to and in yourself as you dig deep. Yeah. Corinne, having the next marketing campaign done but 5 days before it starts. That's big. Stephanie had two moments this week where she was able to quickly reframe a mistake from being a failure. That is huge, really huge. Starting Reiki in Ball. I didn't know you were starting Reiki training. That's amazing. Reconnecting with your parents. Yeah. Nicole started playing piano again. That's incredible. And your business is going well despite the pandemic. Such beautiful things. Making friends with yourself, Gail, and beginning to understand your own ways of processing and interacting. Huge. Alana, you're celebrating your work that you've been, I'm so glad you're celebrating your work that you've been doing. Own it. Yes. Kara's making more time for herself and writing and doing deeper work, right? Each one of these things it takes, right? Like we all know because of who we are and because we're practitioners and we understand human beings, each of these things is not just luck. It's not just one thing, right? It takes deep work to make more time for ourselves, for our writing, all the things. Your townhouse is closing, Michelle. I'm so happy to hear it. Calvin, you're feeling better. I've had heartburn before too that I thought was something else. It can be rough, but I'm so glad you're better. Anne is getting, you know, Anne, what I would say is it's not just that you're getting validation, you're opening up to receiving and taking in the validation. Juliana completed her gift giveaway and her website. So awesome. Such great stuff here. Okay, so from all of this, from your celebrations, from what you're owning, and even just the energy right here, what, as you look at this celebration, what is it letting you know that you can do next? From strength to strength, as you really be and connect with this celebration, what is it showing you that you can do next? What is it inspiring you to do next? And if you want to share that in the chat, I'd love to see that as well. Now you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Yes, you can build on what you've already done because you have a rich foundation, and so true. I'm so glad you're seeing that. It's so important. Alana can see that she can raise her rates. Kelsey, stop taking insurance. Yes. Stephanie feels less risky to take chances. And Stephanie, if you want to identify for yourself what that next chance is or that next risk is, that would be good too. Okay. Julia, a lot of these are going by. Nicole sees she can relax more. Yes, yes. Juliana, having solid content and you can feel confident to talk about it. These are all great. So don't disconnect from this, right? Again, human tendencies. We want to focus on what's not going well. Maybe, because Joanna's asking me to do it, right? We'll give it a few minutes here. Don't leave this behind. Come back to this. Come back to these celebrations. Come back to the inspiration. Let that move you forward. when you can do that, it's less of a push forward and more of a flow forward. Okay, anything that anyone wants to share voice to voice on this, or what you're seeing, or where you're stuck in it? You can just raise your hand if you do. In ball. And try to raise your hands so I can see it in the chat, because I can't see everybody's face on my screen. In ball.
So for me, a couple of things, like I feel like, you know, my celebrations and everything is more on like a personal level, and I can see it like connected, you know, to all the other aspects of my life. And then it's also hard, like, not to be in comparison.
Yeah.
And this also gives me, like, you know, good energy for my celebration call tomorrow. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you on all of it. And I think the comparison piece is, like, it's not just you. You know, like, it's a thing. For most of us. I mean, it is for me, to be honest about that, right? So what do you know, because you are such a wise woman, what do you know that is maybe not the neural pathway that your brain automatically goes down when it comes to comparison, but what is it that you want to be aware of and catch yourself in when you go down the old neural pathways?
I think, you know, remembering that, like, you know, each of us is on their own journey. And, you know, which is the most potent reminder to honor mine and to direct my attention there.
Yeah.
You know, and that allows me to see, like, more, you know, in inspiration around it.
I think that that's really huge. And I don't know if this is helpful for you, or maybe somebody else needs to hear it. But as you were talking, like, what came up for me, and this is like, I also have to remember this for myself because it's not always top of mind. But, you know, when you say everybody's on their own path, also like that path, how do I want to articulate this? I make a lot of money. You know, I have a big business, all of that, but I'm not necessarily happier because of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's great, you know, and, you know, all the things, but sometimes I think that that's what's going to make me happy, or more clients, or this or that. And we want those things for different reasons, all the things. But like, for me, and I would guess for most people out there, it's not the things that we think that actually make us happy. You know, it's actually those smaller, more subtle things that create more satisfaction and happiness in our lives. So I don't know if that was even articulate what I just said, but I'll toss it for whoever needs to hear it. Anne.
Somewhere this may be more of a philosophical thing, but I am finding that part of my struggle around celebrations is the word celebration. And, you know, when I go to, okay, what, let me turn that off. What worked well this week? What did I accomplish this week? What did I do right this week for myself? That I can do. When I think of it in terms of what am I celebrating? It's like, oh, that's not okay. That's over the top. There's a, you know, self-aggrandizing, prideful, and I'm aware that I shy away from using the language of celebration with my clients. And I think I'm probably doing them a disservice with that. And I know there's obviously inner work. There's always inner work for me around celebration, but I am wondering though, what are your thoughts about different languaging or reframes and ways to best serve clients when we're still working through our stuff.
Yeah.
So we're not giving them something that we're not so resolved with yet. Oh, and by the way, I completely love the thread, Stephanie, with, I don't know if Stephanie's on the call, about like when your client's fears come up and they're your fears and how do you, like, that was awesome. So this is sort of an overlap with that type of pattern.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. It's a great question. I'm going to answer that and also answer a question that you didn't ask. So I think there's a couple, when you're still working with something, you know, yourself, there's a couple of pieces. So one, if it doesn't feel an integrity for you to use it yet, it may or may not, but if it doesn't feel an integrity, because you can't get behind this concept of celebration in general, like not just for yourself, but for anyone, then don't use it. Find another word for it. If you can get behind the concept of celebration, if not for yourself, but for others or for a client, then what I actually want to encourage you to do is to see if you can stretch and use it for their benefit as well as for yours.
Yeah. I've, this one client in particular that we've had a very frank discussion about, like, that, you know, when we say, okay, what are you celebrating this week? Some similar struggles to embracing it. I said, yeah, I get it. It's challenging to the upbringing that says, don't make too much of yourself. And that's exactly why we should look at it this way, because it breaks something up. But there, I guess I feel like the question I didn't ask is, I'm not always sure where the line is between, because it's uncomfortable is exactly why we should push into it and stretch into it, versus like, maybe not.
So that's was the second question I was going to answer, actually. I knew it was in there. I want to remind you guys, for those of you that have been through Sacred Depths, back to our Creating Awareness module where celebrating is one of the many different ways of creating awareness. You may or may not remember, but we looked at this deeply, like all of the inner pieces around celebrating and the resistances to celebrating and the meaning and the. And so I'll give you a couple things, but also it may be worthwhile for you to go back and listen to my whole spiel on it. But just a couple reminder things. Number one, contextualize, right? Pre-qualify. I know that celebration feels uncomfortable for you, right? If you know that it's a client that does. And I'm purposefully leaning in to this, right? So if you can let go of, you know, this or that, right? So that's one way. Another way, like sometimes if I know a client is just not, they're just not in the space, like celebration is gonna be a no-go. That's less because of patterning. I mean, it's definitely because of patterning, but it's more because, like, in the actual moment that they're in, it's a no-go, you know, because of whatever's going on. I will use words like, what is it that you want to honor right now? Mm. What is it that you want to acknowledge right now? What has gone well? What are the resources that you have? So it's a very much coaching the what based on the who, and also coaching the what based on the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Okay. All right. So let's dive into questioning. So we are going to do some questioning practice today. Hopefully we'll have time to do it in a bunch of different ways. What I want for you to consider for a moment is how do I want to ask this question? Hold on, let me think about it for a second. Where do you want to go deeper with your questioning? So for example, maybe you know you are asking good questions, but they're not as bold as they could be. Maybe you know you're asking good questions, but they kind of beat around the bush. It takes a while to really get there. Maybe you feel like your questions are wordier than they need to be. Maybe it feels like your questions are serving, but they're not creating as much awareness as you would like for them to. Or maybe you just know that you rely more on other things, which we all tend to do. I catch myself in this as well. You rely more on telling other ways of creating awareness than questions or something else. But what is it for you? Where's a place where you want to focus today as we look at questions? What's going to be your next level? If you guys want to share in the chat, great. Asking simpler, bolder questions, too wordy, relying on other things too much. Yeah. Less wordy, more direct and bold. Mm-hmm. Okay. So whatever it is that's coming up for you around this, that's where I want to invite you to really focus today. Alana's saying, being afraid to challenge them. Good. In Ball, using questioning to create a step-by-step. That's a great one too, right? Because they are in sequences. Not that we need to know the entire sequence ahead of time, but remember, we're usually going faster than our clients are. And it's important to connect the dots. Lissa, taking what I'm sensing or knowing and pausing to create the question. Good. Okay. So my hope for today is that we'll do one practice session together as a group, and then I'm gonna divide you up into groups, and you'll do some more practicing there. So who would like, so I'm about to call a volunteer. I think you all know the drill. Just to say, I will ask questions of this person, but I'm gonna try not to coach or practice or whatever it is, just to kind of for us to gather information. And I want you guys to be using all of your listening skills. Number one, use all of your listening skills. Number two, remember one of the best ways to formulate a question is to think about what is the awareness that you want to create for this client. You may not know the exact answer that they're going to answer, right? It's not about that, but where is it that you want to create awareness for this client? And I want you guys, as we go along, to be writing down questions that you would ask. And don't be shy, like, especially for those of you that are kind of holding yourself from challenging or being bold or you going deep or whatever it is, if a thought comes to you, just go with the impulse, write it down. Who would like to be our volunteer? You have to raise your hand in the actual, like raise your hand or else I may not see you. Don't be shy. Inbal, thank you. All right. Are you there, Inbal?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. What, if this were a session, what is it that you would want to receive from the session? What is it that you want to take a look at today?
Leaning into my resistance around working on my coaching practice.
Good. And when you say leaning into your resistance, what do you mean? Like, what is it that you actually want to receive?
I guess like clarity on, yeah, like instead of, like, I feel like I've been resisting my resistance and not honoring it. And I'm kind of at a place where it's clear that I need to be in it so I can move through it. Mm-hmm. And so how to like hold that while also desiring at some level to move forward. Mm-hmm. Right. And seeing that I'm using like not so, yeah, that I'm like resisting the resistance. And so in a way it's like, I'm not moving through it. And I'm also in like not doing what I want to do. So it keeps me in like this ambivalence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. How do you know that it's time? Cause you said, you know, it's time.
Because I'm realizing that like part of the resistance is to create that I've been like indirectly creating like a fire under my ass, like a situation where I would like have to be motivated. And I'd like to find it in more like empowering ways rather than like default. And I think that by leaning into the resistance, yeah, that would help me to feel more empowered rather than kind of like being directed by these hidden like shadow forces.
Got it. Okay. So just to make sure, I just want to reflect back what I'm hearing to make sure that I'm getting it and that we're all getting it. So it sounds to me like what you're saying is you recognize that up until this point, whenever you, maybe not whenever, but most of the time when you get something done, it's because there's this external push to get it done. There's a deadline, there's something. And what you're really wanting is to feel more of like an internal motivation.
Yes. And I think that part of that is right. But yeah, not from like, you know, like an inside hating place or an external thing or, you know, like stress, but actual like inspiration and, yeah, and also like letting myself, I think, like, yeah, to honor the resistance and like see what's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. And so the inside hating and the stress is when you referred to shadow before, that's what you were talking about, like that it being motivated by shadow. Am I getting it right?
Yeah, like shame or stress or like avoidance, you know, busyness with other things, distraction.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else I can ask without really getting into it. Do you want to give us just like an example of something recent where you've been avoiding or you have things that aren't getting done? You know, anything just recent, kind of like a more specific example with details around all of this?
Totally. So I've had since mid-September, so 2 solid months, like a plan for outreach. And I haven't drafted an email, let alone like sent, you know, an email to anyone. So it's like, I know all the steps, but I haven't taken any, yeah, I haven't done any forward movement.
Yep. Good. Okay. That's a good example. And anything else that comes to mind that you want to share about all of this?
Yeah, I got to the point like 2 weeks ago where I was like, okay, like you're so resistant, then like, just like be in the resistance, like honor this resistance instead of trying to, you know, to ignore it. And that actually opened up space for me, you know, to do my admin and to do like other things. Yeah. So where it was like, okay, dude, you're like, you don't want to do this. Just like, don't do it. And at least like enjoy it and do like other stuff.
Be empowered in the not doing.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I'm still like, kind of there. And I see like slight, you know, kind of action. And I also would like to do these things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm hoping this is enough. I think it is. I think there's a lot in this for us to be able to ask questions. And so Inbal, you can participate. You put your practitioner hat on, you can participate in this too. Hopefully everybody's been writing down at least a couple of questions as you've been listening. If not, no worries. I want you to write down questions now. If you have already written down questions, I also want you to go back to the questions that you wrote. Like, this is what's so great about practice. We can take an even longer pause. We can think about our words. You know, we can think about the intention, you know, all of that. So let's all take a, you know, 2 minutes. And I want for everybody, if possible, to have at least 2 or 3 formed and possibly edited questions that you would ask this client. Thinking about all of the things that we've learned. Take another minute. I'll give you guys just a little bit longer. If you're done, see if there's anything else you would want to ask. Okay. So I want to hear these questions voice to voice so we can, I mean, you can put them in the chat, but I prefer that you raise your hand and we hear your voice. I want to encourage you guys to share your questions, even if you're not sure about them. Can we just like throw a myth of perfection out the window? I already think all of you are brilliant. I really do. because I know that only really smart people want to do this kind of work. So, so take a risk, stretch yourself, especially if you feel a little unsure. It will help us all learn so much more. Alana.
First of all, I just want you to know that it's very scary for me to do this part of it. I like being in the in-ball spot. So this is, I was like, let me just put my hand up right away. And I have three different, like, should I ask them all or just one at, like?
Do one at a time. And then if you want to raise your hand again afterwards.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So I have one and then one that might be a follow-up if it feels appropriate. So I just am wondering, in-ball, I'm looking for you on the screen. There you are. What it actually means. You mentioned you have a desire to kind of honor the resistance and get to the bottom of it and lean into it. And I'm curious what that means for you. And other than just not doing the thing you said you were going to do, what honoring the resistance might actually look like for you.
Nice. Yeah. So Imbal isn't going to answer. We're just going to have the questions. But that's a beautiful question, right? Because as we said, she said she wants to honor it. So what would it look like if you did? Good. And what's the follow-up question?
Just following that, just asking, I'm wondering what feels more alive for you at this moment, sort of the desire that you share to deepen and grow your practice or kind of, or the resistance. I'm just curious which one feels more strong and more alive in you right now.
Nice. So that kind of question, if you guys remember back to the questioning module, that's not exactly a yes or no question, but it's almost a yes or no question, right? Because it's not open-ended. It's like a this choice or a that choice. We don't, and I think this is the way you put it is a great way. It's a great question. I want to remind everyone, we don't want to use those questions too often. And it just, we want to use them in a moment where making a choice, right? Whether it's a yes or no, or a choice between two things, where it's really more about the choice than anything else. It's gonna signal something deep inside of the client. And this is a beautiful, what Alana shared is actually a beautiful example of that, right? Because it really asks the client without judgment, right? No shame, but which is bigger inside of you? And an alternate question here could be, committed may not be the exact right word, but like, which do you choose to make bigger inside of you? Good. Anne is asking in the chat. Yeah, I know, because we're not asking questions in order and there's just a lot of, you know, all of that for sure. If something needs some pre-framing and more words, add it. Good. Thanks, Alana. Nicole.
Hi. Well, let's throw away myth of perfection. Hi, Imbal. My question is, it looks like your resistance is somehow a friend with benefits. So I would like to know, what are the benefits?
I love that question. It's a great example of bringing in a new phrase, right? Or bringing in a new concept that's kind of like a zinger that can open up awareness, create awareness.
Okay.
For the client, right? It's like, I love this phrasing of friends with benefit. It's great. Good. Kelsey.
I had the same first question as Alana, interestingly. And then I was wanting to explore the stuckness, because what I sensed, obviously I'd go into the resistance, but then there's this stuckness about the coaching practice. And I wanted her to get embodied. And I would say something like, sounds like you're really stuck, you know, with respect to moving forward on your coaching business, Imbal. If you close your eyes and go into like the stuckness, where do you feel it in your body? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Where is it? And then, you know, we get quiet with that a little bit. And then does the stuckness about the coaching practice have a message for you? Is there something it wants you to know about why you're stuck and how you're stuck and the coaching practice in general?
Nice. Yeah, really nice. So bringing the body level of awareness to it, almost like a shortcut befriend your fear process, but with the stuckness as a way of really kind of leaning in, which is what the client said she wanted, and honoring the resistance and then getting some information from it. Mm-hmm. But Penny.
Find myself and unmute. I had the same question about what the benefit of the resistance was, and then a follow-up of that to if you were to put the resistance in front of you right here, you know, what would it like you to know is one question that I would ask. And then the other place that I had a question was to ask if, you know, you have this, the goal of deepening your practice. And also you talked about wanting to feel internally inspired. And so I'm wondering, could you tell me more about what is it about this goal that's inspiring to you and what might make it more inspiring?
Great. Okay, so I want to break down some of this. Awesome. So first of all, you're bringing up the benefit piece again, and Inval is saying in the chat, she wrote down the same question. And I think we all know this, but I just want to underscore this. When any habit, dynamic, pattern, fear that a human being has, it might be standing in their way. It might be an obstacle. It might be frustrating. It might be something that we want to support them to move beyond. But an important piece of human nature that we want to remember is that if it's there, it is also there for a reason. It is benefiting or protecting or giving something to the client, right? To that human being. And so it can be, it can create a lot of awareness to support the client to see how this thing is serving, because they've only just vilified it, right? It's just like bad, they've made it the enemy and it's something to be cast out. But if we can support the client to see how it's benefiting, that's when they can actually lean in more, honor more, and then start to move with it. What was your second question, Penny? I just lost it.
The second question was that she had spoken about wanting to deepen her practice and grow her coaching practice, but also she said that she wanted to feel inspired about it, about doing it. And so I wanted to know what about that goal was inspiring and how might it be even more inspiring?
Yeah, nice. So that's another great, beautiful question. And that, again, like the behind that question, just pulling them apart, is supporting the client to connect into their vision, right? And to really be with possibility and inspiration and vision, which is always helpful. Good. Thank you. Shana.
A couple of my questions were already asked, so
this one is your next favorite one.
Yeah. Inval, what would it look like if you stopped resisting and faced all of your shadows?
Nice. Really nice.
And then I would ask if you befriended your resistance and your shadow, what might change for you in your life as to kind of go with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two great questions that are really similar to each other. You probably wouldn't ask both unless the first one didn't quite land with the client, right? Which is a good point to make. Like sometimes we craft a question and it's beautifully crafted, but the language just doesn't happen to land with that particular client, right? So we don't abandon ship and go in a totally different direction necessarily right away. We want to rephrase the question.
Is that question too direct?
I don't think so. You know, it always coach the what based on the who. For a particular client, it might be. I happen to know Inbal really well, and I can say it's not, but I think even what we saw from the context that she gave, even if we had never met her before, I don't think that was too direct for her. Good. Lissa.
Hi. I have three questions that I'll tie together. The first is what would it feel like to have this internal motivation? What are the markers, I guess, for knowing that she has it beyond the pull of the work? And then the second one is, what is it about the external push of timelines or accountability that keeps you from responding to it? And then I'm curious about what's in between that inner and that outer, you know, finding that happy ground of productivity in between with a balance of inner and outer.
So repeat the second question again. I don't think I totally got it. I just want to take it in.
I guess it's another way to say that, to speak of the resistance. What is it about the external push of timelines or accountability that keeps her from responding to it? You know, she made a list and doesn't interact with it, or, you know, creates a timeline for herself and doesn't interact with it. It's another way to question about the resistance.
Yeah, say the words one more time. For whatever reason, I'm just keep them using.
Okay. She used the words needing an external push. And so I said, what is it about external push of her timelines that keep you from responding to the timelines that she's making?
Okay, good. I may have misunderstood what you were saying. I thought, and I'm going to clarify this for me, but just also for all of us, I thought you were saying that the external deadlines are what you do respond to. Can you just clarify for us? Because I think that's why I'm spazzing out on this question.
they normally like help me, like external deadlines, external structures. And so I think like both exist, that is true. But Lissa's question really resonates because it's not working with my own coaching practice.
Right. So that's what I was thinking. Like, what's the difference? So that's a great question then, Lissa. And then also based on what you're sharing right now, there may be a question there is, what's the difference between the external deadline for somebody else's organization versus for your organization?
Totally.
Yeah.
I based that on her saying that she has a list that she knows, like her plan for outreach, and she's ignoring it.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. No, my brain was spazzing out.
That's fine. I get that.
Awesome, thank you. Stephanie.
Hello, let me stop my treadmill so it's not making sound. So I feel like this might be a little similar to some other questions, but one thing that I would love to know is what you think would become possible for you if you did work through this resistance. And then after thinking on that, I think I would push a little more and ask, is there anything uncomfortable or scary about that?
Nice. Yeah, that's a really nice series of questions. And like side note, this isn't so much about questioning, but as the practitioner, you know, when a client answers that what would be possible for you, and we feel that there's that energetic, like emotional resonance for the client and what they're sharing, that's something that we want to note and hold for the client when they've lost connection with that, right? Because something like this topic is very easy for the client to then lose connection with why it's good to lean into the resistance and be with the resistance and move through it. So part of our job, I believe, as practitioners is we want to hold that and be the kind of sacred vault keeper of that information and like recall it back up when our clients have forgotten and need it the most. Good. Anne.
So going back to your remarks in Ball about leaning into the resistance and just letting yourself do all the other things that feel good. I'm curious, because we know resistance is fear, whether that's really leaning into the resistance or whether that's letting it run the show. So the question that I have is, when you lean into the resistance and really honor it, what are the fears that are coming up? And how do you want to address those? So I think everything else has sort of been asked in one form or another. The other thing, and I think it was sort of addressed in some of the clarification, is that I'm also hearing what sounds a little bit like some black and white thinking about whether you are internally motivated, that being a good thing, versus external motivation, not wanting that to be a good thing. And so I'm curious about what might be in shadow around internal versus external motivation.
Yeah, that was a piece that also struck me too, is that there's a little bit of like a black and white, like internal motivation good, external motivation bad. And just to give you guys something that is helpful, like in my thought process in that, like this is how it goes. I hear something that a client says that feels to me maybe something. And then so I thought to myself, well, I need external external deadlines and, motivation on things. Well, is it my filter that I think, right? Like I kind of had this quick little conversation with myself about it. But yeah, I think that would be a great line of questioning to open up.
And there's a piece that just came up with that of, is there a difference or what is the difference between external motivation and external accountability?
Yeah.
I think there might be something to distinguish in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder if it's accountability is the right word.
Can I add a word that just came to my mind? That I just, because the word Inbal used in her own language was inspiration. And I'm wondering, what is external inspiration? Like, is there something that can be external but still be inspiring instead of just be like, motivation has sort of like a kind of a weighty, like not fun sound to it. Whereas inspiration, which is the word that Inbal used, feels like more lit up for her.
Beautiful. That's a great, nice, really nice, you guys. Thank you. Kara.
Just one that I haven't heard yet. Inbal, you mentioned shame and it felt like that shame might be lurking in the atmosphere. And so I would ask, if that shame had a voice, what would it want to tell you, or what does it have to say to you? And then what do you have to say back to it?
Nice. So making shame an entity to be able to dialogue with and look more at that. Yeah. So I just going to say something about that. There's so much, as we all know, there's so much information that we can get from leaning in to those less savory parts of ourselves. Good. Stephanie.
Yeah, I had another one. Asking into where else in your life are you able to find internal motivation or inspiration? And if there can be some examples of that unearthed, what can you apply from those situations to this one?
Yeah, great. I'm so glad you're bringing this one up. I had a similar question of, you know, when, where else have you not avoided? Because that was a piece, right? So these types of questions create awareness for the client of, you know, by giving them examples that actually this has worked before. I do have a history of this way that I want to be moving into. And they can, it helps them both garner information from that past experience, as well as feel the more confident that they can. Good. Anyone else? Alana.
So this one may be like not as deep, but it's like more maybe a surfacey question, but I'll just try it anyway. You mentioned specifically that you've like drafted this plan for outreach, but then you've had it sort of waiting for 2 months and you haven't sent it. And I'm just curious what you, originally I said, and Joanne, I'd love to hear your thoughts about which is a better phrasing. Originally I thought, what are you afraid will happen if you like do this outreach? But then I thought that was a little loaded. And so I said, what do you think might happen if you actually draft the email and send it out? Like what is your thought of what might happen?
I think that for me, I think the what are you afraid might happen feels more powerful and kind of getting to the intention of your question. Yeah, and it's a great question. And I think it is a deep question, but I do just also want to say sometimes surface questions are deep or in service of a line of questioning to get to the deeper question, right? So we don't want to avoid surface questions either if we sense that they're important to ask. Really, none of it is surface, I don't think. Good. Who else? Anyone else want to share? Take a chance. Tell us your question. No? All right. Most of you guys have asked most of the questions I wrote down. I was a little, like I was saying with Lissa, I don't know, I a little bit of a brain spaz. So I wasn't getting these out too quickly, but I had a couple that might be interesting or may not land. These were some riskier ones.
Joanna, just to jump in, I think Michelle wanted to jump in.
Oh, I didn't see
that. Before you get into it.
Oh, yeah. Michelle, did you have a question? I didn't see.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I just, because I raised my hand, I didn't go to the chat. I have to go in 1 minute, but what I'm curious about, and this is not a crafted question, is heart and desire. Those are the two words that keep coming up for me as I listen to everyone's questions and to Inbal. And so I'm curious what the pathway is or to explore the pathway from the inner motivation, but heart and desire keep coming. I see that as an internal piece, and what's the pathway to help in the aligning of the outer pieces.
Nice. So I know you have to go in a minute. So mm-hmm. if it's too long, you know, you can do this for homework. I love what you're sharing. I want you to work on formulating that
into yeah.
a question, because I think there's something really important in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you come up with something?
I can do that. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I can just feel it, but I don't know how to word the question.
Why I'm pushing you, because I know that you are so intuitive, like not even intuitive, that's not the right. I know that you feel things, you know, mm-hmm. and they're spot on. And you're amazing with words, but I want to push you because I think sometimes what happens for you, Michelle, is like you feel it, but then you may talk around it mm-hmm. a little bit. And I yeah. want to give you opportunity to really get in there.
Okay, great. So I'm going to do that.
Yeah. And then I'll either in the chat or share it in the Facebook group if you have to hop off.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
Kelsey.
I just had a quick last thing too, and then I have to hop up in a minute too. There's something about the coaching business involved for me when I listen to you talk about it that feels like a should, like you should be doing this. And I would want to explore with you, like, is it a should or is it, you know, I guess Michelle's question actually helped me get there, is like, is this really your heart's desire right now? Like, is it a should? And when it's a should, right? There's all the things we can do about, well, why are you doing the should? Is it from your inner critic? Is it from your story? Is it from your, you know, exploring the should versus like, do you really want to be doing this? That's where I would go.
Yeah, nice. I think that that's a valuable pathway to go down and see. And also it doesn't have to be all should versus all desire, right? But where is the should in it?
What,
is the right desire in it? Beautiful. Thank you. Shamet. We can't hear you.
Wouldn't like to follow up with what would your life look and feel like if you did come from your place of passion and inspiration?
That would be a good question to follow up from what Kelsey was just talking
about
and what Michelle was talking about.
Yeah. That's what I was,
Yeah, good, good, good. Yeah. Awesome. These are such great questions, you guys. I'm going to toss a couple. I am not sure about all of these, just so you guys, I'm sharing this with you so you know, like, you know, sometimes you're not totally sure. But so at one point in Ball, you spoke about feeling like if you leaned into the resistance that it would stop you from moving forward. And I know that you know better than that, obviously, just because you've been around me for a long time and because you know. And so what I was wondering is, even though you know, why have you equated not leaning into resistance with not moving forward? Another question was, how are you scared that the level and quality of your self-hate would be impacted if you were to fully lean into your resistance? Another question.
Joanna, will you repeat the second one?
How are you scared your level, or just to even simplify it even more, how are you scared your self-hate would be impacted if you were to lean into resistance? I couldn't get the exact right word I was looking for this, but I got this sense that there was some kind of fear that the self-hate would increase if you were to just fully lean into resistance. Another question, just a simple one. What are you really avoiding? What is it that you're actually avoiding? And what would you need to believe in order to move forward? All right, so let's take a moment and pause. What are you learning about questioning? What's important? What are you seeing here? Either about this, like questioning, formulating questions, or something internal for you around the skill of questioning. What are you learning and seeing? Shamet.
Well, I'm learning that that you can actually be quite direct, but I also, the last couple questions that you asked are very, very direct. Would you wait? I mean, you guys know each other for a long time and you feel very comfortable with Inbal, but would you wait to ask such a direct question until you have a really strong rapport with the client? Because it felt like those last few questions just went right to the bone, right to the marrow. So
yeah, it's a great question. I wouldn't. So I mean, just being honest, and I'm not, you know, for me, I wouldn't, but I mean, I am okay with taking risks. I know that if I ask something and it triggers the client, I know how to walk it back or, you know, work through it. I want to make sure that there's a trust established, that there's a tight container, you know, that we understand expectations, like all of the things, the energetics, all the things we talk about in sacred depths to set it up. But for those of you that have seen me do spot coaching, like in groups, and even if it's groups, like, and there are new people in, you've seen, like, sometimes I don't know the person at all other than their name, and I'll go in.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't think that I did 20 years ago, you know, if it's all about the energetics, like it's so much about the energetics, right? And it's not just the confidence piece in the energetics. Like, I want to be clear on that. It's the mutual respect of self and other, the willingness to be wrong, you know, the trusting of that the container is strong enough to hold a question that can be triggering. Trusting the client, you know, all of those things. The more that you develop those energetics, the more willing you can be to go in right away.
Yeah. Well, I am finding that the breakthrough questions and the directness brings more transformation, but the last few that you just asked, I don't know if I would feel comfortable yet.
Yeah. And if you're not yet, I mean, always try to stretch, right? Always try to stretch. But if it's like if it's a die, right? If it's a stretch or a risk, great. If it's a die, don't do it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Great question. What else? What are you guys seeing? What's important here for you? Stephanie's saying she's learning that simple is more powerful and that you're capable of asking simple questions. Yes. Anyone else want to share? Penny.
Yeah, just again, that the power of questions to transfer back to the client, the ownership for whatever it is that's being explored. And how much more positive, powerful that is than when you just hand the awareness and see how it lands or doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it can't, right? Sometimes the handing the awareness is the way that it needs to be. And sometimes just for dramatic purposes, every now and again it can be, but really most of the time the questions are where.
Yeah, even when I know in my practice, sometimes there'll be something that I've been pointing out to somebody, maybe, some, you know, 100 times, and they'll come in one day and say, "You'll never guess what I figured out." Like, I'm like,
totally. Yeah.
Great.
Right. Absolutely. No. And that's what I always love to, you know, on this, I always love to give the example of my older daughter. Like, it didn't matter how many times I told her to put a jacket on, you know, because you're gonna be cold if you go outside. It wasn't until she went outside and froze her butt off that she's like, you know what, I think it's a good idea to wear a coat in the winter. Who knew?
Right, exactly.
So much, there's so much power and beauty in a client learning for themselves and answering for themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Nicole is saying leave behind the myth of perfection. Yes. Yeah. We don't need to be perfect question askers. We can't be. There is no such thing. Inbal.
What I'm seeing is two things, kind of like, you know, that there's a possibility to kind of like, you know, ramp up and really like, you know, create like this foundation, and even like within a session and within the questioning, really like guiding, and also the power of, you know, like inserting a new, right? There's the power of reflecting the client's words, and then there's the power of inserting a new word.
Yeah.
to really like bring something home.
Yes.
Because it causes like a disruption.
Yeah, 100%. And we saw examples of both the things, right? Like when Alana was sharing that word inspiration, for sure, like that would be an important word to use in a question somewhere. And then Nicole bringing in the friends with benefits, which I still love so much. It's a zinger. It's this new concept. I love what you're saying, that it disrupts, right? It disrupts the pattern of thinking and opens up to new awareness.
And I think, you know, I guess I'm curious, but I feel like, you know, so Shamit, like that question like was intense. And I wonder, like, Joanna, like, you know, because I think you've done this with me before, like, you didn't say like, this may be triggering, but you're kind of like, okay, like this next question may be, and you kind of also set it up.
Yeah. Yeah, you can totally pre-qualify isn't the word, whatever it is, but you can set it up for sure. And I do that. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. I think it's just what I'm sensing in the situation and how much the client can take and what's going to make the most impact. But there are certain times where I'll either say like, this next question is going to be big, or this next question might piss you off for a moment, or it might trigger you, right? Just that can already take the sting and have the client be more open to really taking in what it is. Sometimes I'll say, you know, and I could be off base too. Good. Anything else that wants to be shared, what you guys are seeing, what feels important here? All right.
I thought it was interesting that a lot of us had this hasn't happened. So like, I haven't been on that many practicum calls, but it hasn't I came up with a question. There was like three people who had the same. So I feel like there's something going that's just interesting to me. I just found that interesting that like, oh, we're starting to, you know, I mean, people still had their own original way of phrasing it or whatever, came up with other questions, but there were some through lines that felt like they were part of the group consciousness.
For sure. I think that's for a couple of different reasons. So number one, because you guys are all smarty pants. Number two, because there is like a group consciousness thing. You know, I don't know for those of you that facilitate groups or have been in groups, I don't know if you've noticed this. I noticed this when I facilitate. Somebody will have a thought and there's going to be like a whole side of the room where everybody's like thinking the same thing. I really think there's something to that. And also I'm going to take a tiny bit of credit for it that I'm training you guys well too. Involves saying cognitive entrainment. I didn't know there was a word for that. That's awesome. Good. Anne is saying it's important. She's seeing that it's important for her to acknowledge for herself the ground that you've gained in questioning skills. I'm so glad you're honoring and acknowledging. You're celebrating, Anne. I just want to point out, wait, I don't see your face on my screen. I think you might be celebrating. Just saying. Shamit.
This might be a little bit off topic, but because we were talking about resistance last night, if you did ask the question and you can, because, you know, because I'm intuitive, I can feel underneath what's going on. But if they deny it or they're in the resistance and they don't see it and you've asked the breakthrough question and then they just go into the resistance, like, what do you do then? Do you just back right off or do you try to ask the question differently to try to get them to have a bit more awareness?
If they're in the resistance archetype, which remember, we'll know because we'll feel it energetically, right? Like that's the difference between, oh, like genuinely this was just upsetting for the person versus they've gone into the resistance archetype. We're gonna feel it. Usually it'll be the judge and the anger, you know, in this kind of situation. It could be the victim too, or the disconnect. Actually, you know, it could be any of them. So I take that back, but we'll feel, you know, energetically. So if that happens, I mean, in any event, first thing is if we've triggered someone, we want to apologize for that, right? That first things first, like that was not my intention. And I'm so sorry. You may not want to use the word trigger because telling somebody that they've been triggered if they haven't said it themselves can be further triggering to them because it creates shame, right? You might say, I'm sorry that upset you. That was not my intention at all. I asked the question because I see there's the possibility of so much gold here, right? And then from there, you can do a couple things. And it's always coach the what based on the who. So I'm just going to lay out some things. So the next is you can say, you know, are you open? If I rephrase the question in a different way, are you open to looking at this topic right now? Right. So you can kind of backtrack and get the permission. And like with that softness, you know, they know that you're not judging them, right? Because you've said, I'm asking, because I think there's gold here. So that can be one road to take. And hopefully they would say yes. If they said no, again, always coach the what on the who. I can't say definitively what to do. It might be that that's just where it ends right there. Or you could ask why, if you feel like you have that opening to ask why it doesn't feel right. And that could be incredibly valuable, them going into why it doesn't feel safe to look at that topic, which is actually them looking at that topic, right? And so, you know, stuff can happen there. If you know the client really well, and you've looked at their resistance archetype before, after you apologize, you can say, and I totally get it, but just like, you know, humor me here for a moment. Is this for real or is this just your victim, right? So if you have that common language and that understanding, or you could see if you could noodle in with, I totally get it and I honor and we don't have to go there if you don't want to. And it may have been off base. And also I'm curious, I do notice sometimes when I ask a question that at least I think can really move you forward. It's almost like you go into this energy of, right, and you can describe whatever the archetype is. You know, do you think, does that thought have legs to you? You know, like how does that land for you? Is there anything there, right? So there's a couple different ways you could play it. That answer your question?
Yeah, and if you can see that they still are just really triggered and shut down, do you just kind of move on to the next thing? Like,
if you're
not getting anywhere, right?
So, well, yes and no. So yes, you probably want to move on to the next thing, but I wouldn't just leave someone, like, you want to make it, how do you want to say, like, you want to keep the lines of communication open. If someone is shut down and you move on to a safe topic, probably they're still going to be shut down, right? So if they're really shut down and triggered, you, in order to go on to any topic, you probably do need to have the conversation of like, you know, are you okay? You know, what needs to be aired here? What do we need to talk about for you to be able to move on right now? You know, I just want to check in. How are you feeling about me right now, right? If we know that we've triggered someone and they're still in that place, we can't just pretend and move on. We kind of need to have some open communication about that.
I think that's my fear of asking such deep breakthrough questions, is it's like, well, if they break open, like what then?
It's right. So first I can just say, like, it's such a small percentage that they're going to shut down and stay shut down. If it's a tight container, if the energetics are in place, if you're in full integrity, if you're not taking power over, you know, all the things, like, it's such a tiny outside chance. Yeah. But if it does, it's about working with the client to open them back up.
Yeah, thank you. That really helps. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. All right. Anything else, you guys? Gail?
There you go. I just had a question. The woman who, I don't remember her name, she was phrasing something, but she was having some issues with getting the question formulated.
Michelle, yep.
In Michelle. I find I have that come up for me a lot. Like there's all this stuff and I'm like, what are the words? Okay. I might even have images. Like I'll have images before I have words.
Ah, okay. Well, that's a good piece of information. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But first, let me just ask you, do you sense there's any inner peace? Like, is this just all skill? Or do you sense that there's any inner peace or resistance or fear for you in articulating what you see?
I do have a fear of judgment, just generally. Mm-hmm. Like that somebody's gonna say, that's wrong. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like the more vague that we can be, the less opening there is for somebody to say that we're wrong, right? Because it's, so this is actually, this is an important piece, Gail, right? Because my sense is that you have all of the ability and facility and resource to articulate the questions. I know you to be an incredibly articulate person and are incredible, like you know how to put it together. I've seen you do it. So if there's this fear of judgment, that's a big piece for you to be looking at. Does that resonate for you?
Yes. Yeah. And the fact that it didn't even occur to me, I was busy thinking about the other parts of it and not the judgment part.
Yes. So I want you to see if you can start catching yourself when that fear of judgment comes up. Be like, oh, that's what's happening here. It's not that I don't have the words.
Yeah.
That. Now, a couple other pieces. So you said you see the images first. So that's a great place to noodle into, right? So you're a visual person, right? So and that may be a way to help you formulate the question. So I don't know, I'm thinking of an image. Like I'm seeing you behind a bar, you know, bars and blah, blah, I don't know, whatever the image that comes to you, right? First you can say, does that resonate, right? And then from there, you can say, well, how does it feel to be behind those bars? Or I don't know, I'm making it up, but do you know what I'm saying? Like if you're seeing the image, say it. And it can also be like a simple image, like I see you, you know, your heart is standing to the right, but your intellect is standing to the left, you know, like something like that. So it may not be the question first, you may share the image and then from there, get into the conversation about it. Use that strength of yours.
Yeah, I'm getting it. It's like, that's where, because sometimes it's just, I'm not afraid of what's going to be said. And I'll just be talking in images. Like I was doing the sheepdog guide dog with somebody and they were like, that's it. So
yeah,
I wasn't even thinking about it, but I think you're right. I need to step into that more and be aware of when my fears of judgment are coming up.
Yeah, good. Claim that brilliance, be aware of the fear. And then on the practical side of things, practice, right? So even go back and listen to this recording just of the part of me and Inbal talking and a little bit force yourself to, you know, build that muscle or write out an issue that you're having and then put your practitioner hat on and force yourself to write out questions.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else before we wrap for today? Anything else that wants to be shared or spoken? Anything that you're seeing? Alana?
This goes back to the beginning, but you had asked sort of about the celebrations and noticing things. And I realize, I mean, I realize this often, but like it's every time I realize it, it feels like a new aha. There's things that I'm doing that are like, and I'm saying I, but I mean any one of us are doing that are so fucking incredible that I don't even like I'm like, oh, I just, you know, recorded a, you know, a 30 minute poetry set for this college. And I don't even think of it as a big deal because it's the area that I'm like not doing well in that I'm always focusing on. Like, I haven't made this much money or I haven't done that. But it's like when you really stop and you just acknowledge some, and they could be like more external or more internal, like whatever, like, but it's just, it's so, we really go there in such a, like, it's so common to the things that you're doing well that might be a really huge deal to somebody else. You don't even acknowledge them because we're so wired to go to like, our reptilian brains are so wired to go to like, what's wrong? Because that was a survival mechanism. And so I just wanted to just say that out loud because it might be helpful to all of us in the celebration piece of like, when you really acknowledge like whatever it is, you know, like the big things, the small things, it's like, they usually are a much bigger deal, you know, or no, you know, to somebody else, it would be a huge deal. And we don't even give it like the space to breathe, whether you call it celebrating or not, but like to allow that goodness to breathe.
Yeah, 110%. And it's important for us personally. And again, it's important for us to know this as practitioners so that we hold that space for our clients, because most of the time our clients are going to want to squirm out of it. And not be with that goodness and not be with those accomplishments.
Can I share something I've done with a client in terms of celebration that may or may not be useful?
Absolutely.
So I do what I borrowed from you, the focus report, like I've changed the languaging of it, like my questions, but I always like in the session, I do like a, probably like a 10 minute, instead of them saying what they're celebrating, I have them close their eyes. And I actually read, I want to celebrate you for da da da, because it can be easier to hear it from somebody else. And it can also have a different impact, I think. So that's been something that my clients have really, and I ask them to like close their, almost like a guided meditation, and like breathe it in and like imagine like taking it in like honey or food or something like that. And it's been, it's had a big impact. So
yeah, so share it as a, so glad you're sharing it. So, so, so powerful. So powerful. It's so cool that you're doing that. And just to add to that, we can also do it in like in spot ways too, right? Like, because we're not only celebrating at the beginning of sessions, whatever, but one thing that I do that's like in that style is sometimes when I hear a client say something, but they're not either fully recognizing it as a celebration or fully owning it as a celebration or seeing the fullness of it, I will slow down, repeat it back to them, and then I'll say, are you able to take that in? That alone can be so helpful. Okay, good. Alyssa.
Hi, I just wanted to speak to Gail that I also receive images, and I will bring it in like by saying, I'm seeing this, you know, and I describe, you know, or it's like this. Or the other day in conversation with a friend who's, you know, a client, but I had the image of her calmness and focus being like a sniper, which was appropriate for her because she's ex-military. So she was able to, I said, it's like being as focused and as calm as a sniper. And she was able to like feel into that the way you have to slow your breath down. And, you know, so I just want to let you know that I totally use whatever images come to me as the conversation that I'm having in engaging with my clients.
Beautiful. I love that. Again, just another, like, this is one way that people learn and people take in, right? And also just such a great example of matching, you know, we look at this in Sacred Depths, like the language that you use to match your client's filters, right? Mm-hmm. So sniper, somebody wouldn't use sniper with me because that's just so out of my filters. But for someone ex-military, it's brilliant.
Right. Yeah. So it's like a gift. I consider it to be a gift of guidance that I speak into the container.
Nice.
So
good. Thank you, everybody. just thank you, all of you, for your presence and all that you've shared. Great call today. I'm thinking about all of you. I am around through next Tuesday, really Wednesday morning. Any cues that you have on anything, let me know in the Facebook group. I'm here for whatever you need. Sending you all love. I'll talk to you soon.